Immortal Pagliacci.
Have you ever heard those commercials on TV at night?
The music of Verdi, Rossini, Mozart, and the Immortal Pagliacci. He's just one of those composers, you know. We're going It's a laugh-a-minute life, I'll tell you.
Oh, my God. Have you had your laugh the last minute, John? You have.
I see. When I came to bat, right? Okay, you notice that foul tip? I can do that better than anybody. Quick. Before I go into that, I'm going to lay some bad news on you. Because bad news can be exciting, too, can't it? Right. Okay, the bad news is this. Do you know how people always walk around? You know, after all, there's a lot of folk wisdom, but it can also be a lot of cockamamie folk misinformation, right? Correct them all. Well, you know, how often in the last couple of years have you heard, oh, boy, they don't have winters like they used to have? Right. Oh, yeah. I was just riding down the street the other day with a cab driver, you see. And he's sitting in the cab, and I said, well, it won't be long, right? And he said, what do you mean? I says, well, it won't be long. And he had the windows open, you know, and his cigar was sticking out the side vent there, and he was laughing it up, and he was drinking an egg cream as we were riding along. You know, typical New York driver. And we're hopping from pothole to pothole. Has it occurred to you that the pothole is New York's true art form? I think New York creates the greatest potholes ever seen this side of the Alcan Highway. And, this is the only town where a guy can lose an entire Buick Skylark. Boom, gone. You know, nothing but a plume of smoke coming out of it. And that ain't a pothole any longer. That's getting to be a shell hole. But, of course, that's another thing, too. I don't want to get into the city politics. You know, can't you see Mayor Beam driving to work one morning? And all of a sudden, that big city caddy hits a goodie that I know a couple of goodies around here. God, boom! Down it goes, busted axle. The frame is gone. There goes the muffler, and the mayor climbs out of the wreckage. And of course, we hope that Gabe Pressman will be on the scene with his camera, right? Mayor Beam takes action. Victim of pothole. But nevertheless, I thought of writing a real turkey of a screen drama of a horror thing called I got an idea for a horror film. The Pothole That Swallowed Manhattan. See, has it occurred to you that potholes could be visitors from outer space? And they're slowly getting bigger and bigger until one... Oh, you never thought of it that way. Well, you know, we always... You don't know what outer space creatures are like. They could be holes. In other words, antimatter, negative matter. You know the concept of antimatter, negative matter. Antimatter is just the guy that's against everything. Ah, it's all a lot of bunk. You've heard that type. We've worked for that type, haven't we? Right. Ah, bah, humbug. Oh, Scrooge ain't dead. Scrooge has just bought himself a new suit, and now he's working on the 24th floor. Hell no. Would you please give me some salute to Scrooge music, please? Let's go there. Come on, let's hear it for Scrooge. Come on. Yeah. This is called the Roll Top Desk Blues. Yeah. Today I'm walking down the street, trying to figure out how to squeeze out more of that tube of toothpaste of life. And I figured what it's all about is just like I learned at my mother's knee as a small, wee, itty-bitty kid. Yeah. Mama looked down after stirring that Ralston bowl up a bit. She says, kid, you want to learn what life's about? I said, yeah, Ma, yeah. She says, I'll tell you what life's about, kid. Make all you can get. Make all you can get. Take them for every damn thing you can get. Right, kid? You heard me? So now you're getting the word right from mother's mouth. Learn that mother's huge concrete knee. Get all you can get, buddy. Thank you.
Not bad. How'd you like that, huh? Did you like my mother's advice? Did you like the advice? Okay, all right. Speaking of getting all you can, hey, Joe, quick, hit the money button, quick. They're getting away, quick.
There is a saying, God must be a Brazilian. Of course it is just a saying. But ask someone who has seen Rio de Janeiro. Someone who has stood just below the clouds, next to the statue of Christ, whose outstretched arms seem to be blessing the bays and lagoons, the sensuous hills and crescent beaches, the gentle curves and dramatic sweeps that shape this divine configuration of mountain and sea. This Rio, this most beautiful of all cities. Ask and see if this someone does not say it was a religious experience. Even better, fly away. Fly Varig to Brazil, and then decide for yourself. Is God a Brazilian?
Oh, surely, Mo, every romantic notion you have ever had about Rio is true. So now is the time to see your travel agent and board a Varig luxury 707 or giant wide-body DC-10-2-0 Rio. Fly away. Fly Varig to Brazil. God is a Brazilian. How's that for chauvinism? I always thought God came from Indiana. Englishman, thank God, obviously is an Englishman. It's going to be terrible to arrive up there at the pearly gates and look up and discover that it turns out to be Neptune. You know, wouldn't it be awful to discover that the Greeks were right all along and that Zeus was up there hurling thunderbolts? Or possibly the great god Moloch is sitting there carved out of solid granite. You don't know who Moloch was? Oh, you remember him. Sure, he used to manage the station. Of course, you remember the guy, the great stone face. You remember the one? The only stone that I ever saw grew gray hair. Fantastic. Well, nevertheless, somebody wrote to me the other day. Let's get back to our business here. As many people in this racket say, it is time for a little business. Before we hit that, Joe, let's see. What do we got? Chevron. You mean those things that sergeants wear? Is that it? Really? Free up and free down? You better start moving, buddy, when he barks.
The Chevron way.
Chevron.
Chevron, be the one to be. The one who keeps you worry-free today. The Chevron way.
Make the right turn into Chevron. Your Chevron dealer is an auto specialist who can offer all the things your car needs to keep it running smoothly, like Atlas Steel radial tires. They'll give you sure traction, smoother handling, and a safer ride than ordinary tires because of their strong steel radial construction. Now's the time to see your Chevron dealer about the Atlas Steel Radial 70 tire.
And take the Chevron way.
Oh, they kind of petered out on that, didn't they? No big ending there. Gonna have to call JB on the phone about that one. I mean, that ain't the way MGM ended its pictures, buddy. Oh, sir, you go out with the bands going. Incidentally, I'm delighted to report that my favorite season has arrived once again. Yes, this is when I can enjoy one of the true American art forms this time of year. The halftime ceremony. Oh, I love the halftime ceremonies. To me, that's an American art form. You don't find halftime ceremonies anywhere else in the world. Now, have you ever thought of the halftime ceremony as a true expression of the American spirit? Well, you will now, after I tell you this. I mean, where else in the world are you going to see 45 girls marching in unison with everything going, you know? Oh, fantastic. Wearing buckskin bras, gigantic 10-gallon hats, and shooting off Roman candles at the same time, all the while giving a salute to America's poverty, which is what I saw the other day watching television. I'm sorry. Those announcers that do those halftime PA bits, you know, you hear them. You don't often hear it because Kirk Gardley always keeps getting in the way. You know, Kirk Gardley's always interviewing somebody about a pass formation. And if you can see over his shoulder, the real show is going on. And you can hear the announcers saying something like this. Would you give me a little echo chamber there? Now make it sound like a PA system.
Hello, one, hello, two, one, three, two, four. Three, yes. 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 Now, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the halftime ceremony. Siwash University's marching Golden Mustang Band now salutes one of America's difficult problems of the day. And now the Golden Mustang Band salutes Watergate.
Have you heard that? You haven't heard that kind of stuff? Well, I guess when you spend all your time down at the local bar, it's hard to hear that over all that yelling and fist fighting that's going on. And I have to admit that a lot of people haven't heard that, but that's because they don't really listen. Oh, no, just a couple of months back. In fact, last season already, we saw the trend toward the sociological relevance-oriented halftime show. Now, the old halftime show used to consist of this, a little more PA again.
Now, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Siwash University Halftime Ceremonies today, featuring the halftime ceremony marching band, the Golden Mustangs, under Dr. Frank Watanabe. Today, salute the music of Richard Rodgers and Rodgers of Hammerstein.
You heard those, right? Okay, that's the old-time show. That's all over again. It's no longer a relevant show. You know what relevant is, don't you? Right, that's that makeup that the ladies use. This is WOR New York, speaking of relevance. And what is more relevant at this time to hit the money button once again? Once again.
Let's shopping for Hers potato chips and snack foods is a family affair.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Because Hers has
chips.
Something for everyone.
Oh, I love
potato
it.
Chips, pretzels, corn chips.
Pretzel.
Everybody finds a favorite.
Oh.
Hers potato chips taste good because they're made the natural way.
Oh, not like
not
those
a single preservative
chips. No, sir.
This is the way you'll find them in your store. Country fresh.
Oh, just
and
like
Hers
in
a package
country.
To stay that way.
You know
when
how
you
potato chips grow out there in
Hers,
the country. Country
good
fresh.
Things from the country.
Right. Good old country fresh pretzels, just like they grow right on the pretzel bush. You know where they grow pretzels? Right, Albuquerque. And now, one, two, three, let's hear it all together, gang, for the New York Nets.
Julius Erving of the New York Nets, most valuable player in the ABA 2 years
in a row. $1.5 million.
Julius Erving of the New York Nets, league-leading scorer in the ABA 2 years in a row.
Bet you can't do that again.
Dr. J will be taking a court at Long Island's Nassau Coliseum this fall to repeat MVP and scoring honors, as well as lead the Nets to another league championship.
I'd really like to see that.
Yeah, what a joke.
Dennis Potvin of the New York Islanders, rookie of the year in the National Hockey League. Dennis Potvin of the New York Islanders on the All-Star team as a rookie in the NHL.
Yeah, but,
Right, yeah.
Did he really do that?
Oh,
Dennis
don't
Potvin
that,
will be on the ice at Long Island's Nassau Coliseum this fall to lead the Islanders to their first year in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, whoopee.
Now that I'd like to see.
Yeah.
You can see it all and more. There are still choice season tickets available for New York Nets basketball and New York Islander hockey. Call now and reserve your season tickets. 516-294-6400. 516-294-6400.
Right. Get a good seat. Catch a puck of the teeth. Dum, ba-dum, bum. Oh, listen, I did you know that one time in my speckled checkered career, at one time I did hockey play-by-play? That's right. And you're curious what team I did it for? The Mohawks of Cincinnati. Cincinnati Mohawks playing in the Cincinnati Garden, owned by the Montreal Canadiens. And I'll never forget one night this friend of mine come up to me saying, you know, doing the play-by-play, you know, you got certain connections, see. And I had a lot of connections, you know. The connection consisted really of a Class E telephone line that came out of that place. And the line was so cheap that we used to do the hockey play-by-play that it was the only telephone line I've ever seen that had no highs, Joe. Are you listening, Joe? This telephone line that I worked on doing the play-by-play out of the Cincinnati Garden had no highs, it had no lows, and it was one of the few telephone lines I've ever seen that had no middle. And so I came out sounding like Donald Duck. You know, I'd say, and now they're taking it up to the blue line. There's a pass over to Watanabe. There's a pass back over to Watson. Watson now passes in. He's circling around the ice. There's a shot, and it's in the stands. Well, one day, I did hockey. What a wild scene. One night, this buddy of mine, he says to me, he says, you know, comes up, he's an engineer, you know, just like all engineers are basically freebies. I've never known an engineer that, no, they are, let's face it. And he came, no, I don't mean that to be nasty, Joe. I only report the news. I do not make it. And So he comes up to me one night, saying, he says, hey, he says, listen, he says, I love hockey. And I said, all right, Bob, you love hockey. What else is troubling you? He says, well, he says, I every time I buy a seat down there to the garden, he says, I'm sitting way up there. He says, so far back. He says, I got a pair of binoculars, and I have trouble even seeing the ice with the binoculars. Well, that's true. You know, you get these $3 seats. You know, the price of sports has gone up to the point now where many a guy, you know, has to decide whether to take his two-week vacation in Bermuda or go to see the Knicks. So, nevertheless, he decided, you know, he wanted to see the game. So they were playing the Hershey Bears. You heard of the Hershey Bears? That's a hockey team. Well, Hershey, you know about Hershey. Hershey candy, right? There's a team called the Hershey Bears. It's kind of a play on the term Hershey Bars. You don't get it? You do, huh? Okay, good. Fine. I knew you would. And they have chocolate-colored uniforms. They really do. Big peanuts painted all over them. So, nevertheless, I'm seriously telling you the truth. There was also, there was the Cleveland Club. They played all the time. But the Hershey Club was really hot, see? So he said he wanted to see him play Hershey. So I said, okay, Bob, I'll see what I can do. So I went to see the PR guy. And I said to the PR guy, I said, hey, listen, PR guy. I said, it's been 7 weeks now, and you guys haven't paid me, right? And he says, that's right. He says, no, he says, we're hoping for an upsurge in attendance here soon. And I said, okay. I said, now, since you haven't paid me for 7 weeks, and I've been doing the games, right? They've been on the air? I mean, I really did them? He says, that's correct. I said, well, then what do you say that you slipped me a freebie ticket? How am I slipping me a freebie ticket for an old buddy of mine? He says, very good. I'd be glad to. And now, kids, men, women, children, birds, and seagulls that are listening to this, there is a lesson in this. I want you to listen to the lesson. It was one of those nights I learned a lesson in life. So I gave him the tickets. And, oh, he was abject. He was just abject in his gratitude. I hate to see a grown man go down on his knees and cling to your knee and cry. A grown man, and not only that, he had a first-class phone. I mean, that kind of guy shouldn't have to do that. But anyway, he was, because that's what sports do to you today. Listen, I've known guys. I knew a guy that wanted to get to see the last World Series, you know, when the Mets were in the World Series. He wanted to get to see a World Series game so bad, he couldn't get a ticket. This guy wanted to get a World Series game so bad that you know what he had to do? He traded his wife to another guy for 3 weeks. Well, now, and let's face it, if you knew this guy's wife, you know that wasn't much of a trade. And the only reason that he traded her, he didn't trade her for the reason you think he traded her for. She went over there and did the weeding in the backyard in this guy's house for 3 weeks. That's all she was, yeah. But nevertheless, he was willing to do that. And he did. He went and saw the ball game. By the way, it was a disaster. The Mets lost that game. And, you know, that's always the way it goes. He came home madder than hell. On the way back, somebody stole his hubcaps on a Utopia Parkway. It was just a bad scene. So, anyway, my friend came to me, and he said, please get me a ticket for the Hershey Bear game. And I said, all right, I'll get you a ticket. At that time, the Cincinnati Mohawks were in a head-to-head, as they say, push-and-shove struggle with the Cleveland team for last place in the league. Right. And so naturally, there was a great crowd interest in this game, and there was, actually. There were thousands of people came out to see the game, and my buddy was sitting right down in the first row. I got him a seat right down there with the real people. And then he was sitting right down, and I could see him up in the booth. See, I was up there, and I'm saying, you know, the face-off, it's time for the face-off, and the crowd was roaring. 5 minutes into the game, 5 minutes, he didn't even see 5 minutes. 5 minutes into the game, one of the Hershey Bear players took a pass. He's coming up over the blue line. He got a fantastic check, and as he does, he swings, passes the puck over to the other side of the blue line. The guy catches it on the edge of his stick. The puck ricocheted, and I saw this crowd gathering around, and the next thing you know, they're carrying this victim out. Guess who it was? I'd like to tell you it was Bob. It was not Bob. It was a girl Bob had been working on for over 3 weeks, and he figured he'd really show her a good time tonight, you know. They turned it a hockey game. And for 3 days we visited her at Memorial Hospital there. She caught a puck right in the left ear. No, it wasn't in the teeth, it was in the left ear. It was fantastic. She had the biggest ear I ever saw in my life after. It was an ear over 3 or 4 feet round.
tremendous. And the puck was embedded right in it. And she was like a living, walking Stanley Cup trophy. And so there's a lesson in this, friends. Beware of anything that comes free. Look it right in the eye. And then grab it and run. Run.
Air shipping service is better.
Our service is better.
Ours goes anywhere.
You don't get much free, so you got to take what you get, right? Flames.
Here's a message from Tom Cole,
you come
president
here, you're
of
REA
Air Express, to clear the air once and for all.
You got
to
get it right.
Look,
clear it up. Right?
Every air shipping service claims it's faster, bigger, or whatever. I say put up or shut up.
Right, right.
Last year, REA Air Express delivered 6.5 million shipments. A million more than Emory, Airborne, and SkyCab put together.
Oh, boy, did they
murder them. Because only Air Express Priority guarantees boarding of your shipments on the first flight out before any other freight.
Right.
And only Air Express gives door-to-door service to 450 airport cities and 22,000 communities.
Correct.
Under the control of one carrier, one management. Insist on the original, REA Air Express. It's the service with the differences that you demand. Just call us for a fast pickup. But whatever you do, don't be fooled by the imitators.
Oh, them phonies. That's true. You know, you get fooled by the phonies. Have you noticed that? Has that happened to you, Joe? Right. Listen, I got a package the other day. I don't know what express company sent it, but it was fantastic. I mean, have you ever seen a package that was less than a millimeter thick? And it started out 2 feet square? I don't know. They had some kind of a machine that just flattened it out. You know, it saves space, you know, in the truck and all that stuff. And it said fragile all over. That's true. They didn't break the string that was around the package. You know, they didn't tear the paper. And I guess that's what the fragile thing referred to. But it was a fantastic package. It started out 2 feet square. Came from an electronic company out in Chicago. I ordered it. You know, it came out 2 feet square. And when it arrived, Joe, the package was over 7 feet around and a millimeter flat. It's amazing. In fact, you're talking to the only guy that you know who has a stereo set that he can roll down the street now. That's right. It's just fantastic. You can see through it. Hold it up to the light. It's that flat. But that's what happens. That's what happens. It works. Amazing thing about it. It works. So you never know where you're going to find truth. Right? You don't know. And tonight, I've decided to deal in it. Guy wrote me and said, Shepard, what's your hobby? Now, I don't know whether it's any of his damn business. Because I may have a hobby he doesn't want to hear about, right? Have you ever wondered what my hobby is, Joe? No, I don't wonder about yours either, so I guess we're even, right? In fact, I don't give it contributes. Because I know what yours is. Any guy that goes around and embroiders lampshades for a hobby, forget it. Unless they're erotic lampshades, you know, expressing the inner Joe, you know, that kind of stuff. That's okay. With the beads, I like that. The frou-frou on the bottom. You know what frou-frou is? It's a French dancer in the Folies Bergère. You don't know her, huh? Oh, she's something. But nevertheless, I my hobby, okay. I might as well be honest with you. I did have a hobby one time. My hobby, when I was about 7, I don't know how I got started on this hobby. You don't know, you know. What is a hobby? A hobby is something you do that you don't expect any return from. That's truly a hobby. You know, your work shouldn't be your hobby. It isn't your hobby. Nobody has work as a hobby. Although a lot of people enjoy their work, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean it's your hobby. You see, your hobby is something that is done that completely is removed from the whole process of earning a living and anything else. It's just a, you know, it's a... And man is the only creature that has hobbies. Unless it can be proved that that horse is kicking you, that's their hobby. It could be. I don't know. You know, I know one guy. Oh, wow. Fantastic. Right over the garage. And the horse was 18 years old. Never knew he could kick field goals like that. Boom. Just gone. And, yeah, caught him on the bounce, too, on the other side. He got hit terrible. He hit the other side, bounced twice, and right into a Sears Roebuck lawnmower that was working over there. But you can... are you thinking about that, Joe? Ghastly image, isn't it? Sounds like the end of one of the great Walt Disney films. You can always tell you're watching a Walt Disney film. It's got Dean Jones in it. All right. The perfect Walt Disney hero has absolutely not a single thought ever shows in his eye at all, at any point. All right. He's always co-starring with Suzanne Plachette in The Dachshund or a duck. or a goose. Yeah. That's you could write Walt Disney films like every 5 minutes. There's a machine that turns them out, actually. It's called the Walt Disney Film Machine. Ka-dung, ka-dung, ka-dung. You just crank them out. But there are them that like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it, certainly. Right. Oh, well, you probably like Devil Dogs and Yankee Doodles, too. Right, okay. Nothing wrong with that. I know a friend of mine that likes Yoo-Hoo. He whips up a little batch of Yoo-Hoo at night once in a while, puts vodka in it. Sirree. Right? That drink has a name, vodka and Yoo-Hoo. You didn't know what that is? Huh? You don't care either. Well, okay. I mean, you can order it if you want. I better not. We've always wore off the air. It's got a great name. Oh, man. Who threw the inner tube in the Yoo-Hoo? But nevertheless, my hobby, oh, yes, my hobby. You want to hear what my hobby was? Well, my hobby, at one point, at the age of 7, I got very deeply involved in the hobby. And my hobby was collecting match covers. You know what match covers are? Well, I collected match covers. And you collected those too for a while? Well, I started collecting match covers. Now, when you're a kid, you first collect match covers by walking around and looking down in the gutter. You pick them up out of the gutter, you see. And then you realize that match covers come from certain places. And then you begin to actually go to those places to get the match covers. In other words, Charlie's Bar and Grill. If you want a Charlie's Bar and Grill match cover, and you keep looking around for one, you don't find one, what do? You wind up drinking the bourbon in there to get some, right? And at the age of 8, I began to drink heavily, because that's where all those match covers come from. And then I finally got turned off. My mother finally flipped when I started to bring home... My best prize as a match cover collector came one night, though I was already fully grown up. And I've always kind of been sorry that I gave up that hobby, because lately there's been some great match covers showing up. Yeah, I was with this girl over in this elegant East Side restaurant. And you know that most girls, whenever they go into a very expensive restaurant, immediately they need to buy cigarettes. You've noticed that? It's a gut reaction to an expensive joint that has no cigarettes for sale, unless they're $4 a package and they're imported from Belgium. You know that kind. Well, so I knew this. So we walked into the restaurant there in a very elegant place. Luigi's, you know, name like that. Had this marquee out in front. And it's very dark in there. Little candles guttering away. We walk into Luigi's. And the minute she says, oh, you know, you get that sound, you know, you hear it in the voice. She says, oh, I'm so sorry. I says, yes, Mabel. She says, I'm so sorry, but I'm out of cigarettes. I says, of course you're out of cigarettes. What else? We're in Luigi's. Naturally. You never run out of cigarettes at the Chock Full of Nuts. I know you have, and not once have you run out of cigarettes when we've gone, sightseeing at Woolworth's. Where do you run out of cigarettes? Luigi's. The Four Seasons. This is where you run out of cigarettes. I said, then, of course, you want cigarettes. Is that correct? Oh, if you don't mind. Well, I went over to the machine there. They had a silver-plated machine, you know, these elegant places. They have a machine that's designed to fit the decor of the place, not just one of those ordinary bus terminal-type cigarette machines. This was a Rococo machine. It had little touches of Gothic. And a little Andy Warhol. It's a very elegant machine. And it's the only machine I knew that only accepted $5 bills. Now, most machines I'm used to have a little slot that says 2 quarters, 5 nickels, 7 dimes, and 18 pennies you have to put in, right? This one says $5 bills only. That's a, you know. And incidentally, the machine was painted to look like the shirt front of a head waiter. So I you know, whipped out the $5 bill. And I said, what kind do you want? She says, oh, it doesn't matter. Well, of course it doesn't matter when you're operating a $5 cigarette machine. Take what you can get. And so I put the $5 bill into the slot. And, you know, they have one of these little lights that can tell the difference between a $5 bill and a $1 bill. And if you think I'm kidding, friend, did you ever try to put a $1 bill into a change machine? You seen those change machines where it says $5, $1? There's two kinds, you know. Or do you only go into those cheapy joints that give you change for a quarter, right? That's your speed, right? So I put the $5 bill into the machine, see? And the machine goes,
you know, it sucked that $5 bill up. Oh, I'll tell you, Luigi himself couldn't have done it better. You know, he's got a magnet, you know, a dollar bill, a $5, $20 bill magnet. In fact, he's got a palm that rejects anything less than a 20. Automatically wads it up and spits it back at you. You know, you get it in the air. So, nevertheless, this machine user, up goes the $5. See? And the guts were up and down at the bottom of the slot comes the cigarette package. Right? Well, now, this is a very elegant place. In fact, it's so elegant, you know the whole idea of camp, don't you? This was this entire place was all done in nostalgic decor. You know what nostalgic decor is, don't you? 1932 calendars on the wall, right? Humphrey Bogart, big picture of Humphrey Bogart. Instead of where it says men, they have Bogart's picture on the John there, right? And instead of women, there's a picture of Carol Lombard. I mean, you know that kind. You know the kind of guys that go to places like that. You know, I don't have to, you know, pound it down. So anyway, we're in this place, very, very elegant. What kind of cigarettes do you think come out? Do you think L&M's come out? Do you think Marlboro's? No, 20 grands. 20 grands. They were. Yeah, it was nostalgic cigarettes were coming out of the machine. That's why you paid $5. They ain't made the 20 grands for heaven's sake since Al Capone got put in the big house. Right? 20 grands. I turned to her, I says, are 20 grands all right? And it was a pregnant pause, and she says, well, if they don't have wings. I said, what the hell am I in here? So at that point, I give her the 20 grands. Yeah, these cigarettes, 20 grands. There's a picture of a horse in the front there with a horseshoe around it. It says 20 grand on it. I said, 20 grands. I said, what are they? Are you sure they use tobacco in these? She says, what do you mean? I says, well, I'm being funny. And at that point, the machine goes, and it kicks out with a package of matches. You know, the little matches comes out the bottom? And what do you think it said on the matches, huh? What do you think it said? It says, help fight VD. And at that point, come on, Joe, get that thing going. That's right. It says, help fight VD. I thought maybe the machine is trying to tell me something. I hate machines that editorialize. Especially about something as personal as, you know, what the hell are you going to do with that? So I gave her, I said, you want matches? She says, yes, please. I gave her the package of 20 grand and I handed her the box of matches, you know. She reads it. She says, what's that? I says, well, that's Luigi's brother. His name is, Virgil Damagelli, you know. She says, oh, that's interesting. She says, this help fight VD. I says, well, you know, he's kind of a mean type, and he's trying to take over this place. We've got to help Luigi keep the law, keep the lease, and the whole thing. And so we sat there for 15 to 20 minutes. She smoked his 20 grand, you know. And I discovered that the place not only was nostalgic in its cigarettes and its decor, it was also nostalgic in its food. You ever eaten a three-day-old pork chop? Yeah, well, it came right out of the old day, you know. Same pork chop at Sydney Green Street. Fooled around with in a big scene in the Maltese Falcon. Da 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 da. Yeah. You want a little juice, hot there? All right. Thank you, Joe. Right. You enjoyed my little lesson in sociology? All right, here's your next lesson. Joe, get ready. Come on, boy, get ready there. We got to hit them with a gramercy. Yeah.
When the landlord said, move out, the building's coming down, Gramercy Park went into shock. We called a meeting and the Brain Trust advised, run a removal sale. Everybody loves a removal sale. But you know what happens when you move. There's so much to do, you can't do everything. Yet somehow the day comes and goes, and there you are. And the day came and went, and here we are. Gramercy Park wants to sell a lot of men's clothing in a hurry. The best way to sell a lot of clothing in a hurry is price. If you want a new suit or a sport coat or some slacks, go to 61 West 23rd Street. Just go through the big iron gate. Gramercy Park will sell you beautiful clothes at prices that would make Scrooge look like a big-time spender. There's no obligation, and credit cards are okay. Gramercy Park Clothes is open to 7, Saturday to 6, and on Sunday from 10 to 5. The address is 61 West 23rd Street, New York.
This Sunday afternoon's clash between the New York Jets and the Chicago Bears, a first-time meeting for these teams, is brought to you in part by M&M Mars, the fun-sized candy people. And I'm Dave Herman for all the commentary throughout the game. Broadcast time over WR Radio is 1:35.
He sure sounds like a fun guy, doesn't he? That's like Godzilla trying to sell you the Yankee Doodle.
A fun-sized candy bar.
Oh, God, it never stops, does it? Well, you know, you know what some of the other cigarettes that this machine had? I went back. I said to Luigi, that's a fantastic cigarette machine. And he says, oui, monsieur. You know, it's not every, you know, cigarette machine makes a 7,422% profit. So he thinks it's a great one, too. And how much money do you think that you've put in your time? I'm asking a hypothetical question out there. How much money do you think you have put in your time into various slots and got nothing back? No, I'm very serious about this. I just wonder, this is one of the deepest held secrets, I think, of the entire phone company. You never hear any talk about that. How much money the phone company gets in dimes that you put in and nothing ever happens? I'm just curious how much they make in a year on that. I'll tell you, I personally, just in Radio City, over in Rockefeller Center, rather, here the other day, I'm running through and I have to make a phone call, see, so I rush into the phone, and there was a, you know, on the wall there, and I pick it up, and it says 10 cents, right, you know, so I put the dime in, nothing. I hit the coin. Have you ever seen a coin return thing ever work? No, well, that's called a placebo. It's just like the button they put into the elevator, you know, the one that's says closed door. Have you ever seen one of those work? Well, a lot of people think they do, you see. That's what's so crazy. They get in there, and they stand around for 20 minutes, and then they hit the closed door button, and then the door closes. They think that made it close. You know, that, from that point on, he wonders why the button has such a long delay when he tries it the next time. He gets, it doesn't work at all. In fact, there's a lot of buildings when you walk in, and it says up, you know, the little elevator button is 742 stories. You walk in this building, you press the button up, and it lights up. And you actually think that has something to do with the elevators? No way. They're all on an automatic system. You know, they go up and down, you know, zip, zap, bam. And it doesn't make any difference. And so I put many a quarter into many a machine. And you get a kind of a fatalistic feeling about it. It's like, well, you know, you deserved it. It's a sneaky-looking machine. You come up to the sneaky-looking machine, you put a quarter in it, you deserve to lose, right? I mean, you know. This terrible mafia machine standing there, and you get smart with it. It says, don't tilt. You start tilting, and a big fist comes out, cracks you in the mouth, says, cut it out. Who do you think you're shoving, Mac? Bam, right in the mouth. So, anyway, you want to hear what the other cigarettes were in this machine? Marvels. You mean you never heard of Chelsea's? All right, the Chelsea cigarette. You want to know another one that was in there? Cubeb. No, I've only read, you know, about Cubebs. That's something that F. Scott Fitzgerald's characters are always smoking. Cubebs. Fatima. You could get the Fatima. Or, if you're one of the illiterate, the Fatima cigarettes come out of there. And they were all in this machine. I mean, foods of the past. And he had a candy counter there. And they had past and gone candy bars. It's the only place I know of in town where you can actually buy, at this point, a A candy bar that features on the wrapper of it this guy with the big muscles. What candy bar is that? Yeah, that's right. Powerhouse Candy Bar, known as the Great Molar Crusher. You try those Powerhouse Candy Bars. In fact, there's a rumor that the Powerhouse Candy Bar was a secret plot by the American Dental Association. Listen, that baby could take out an entire mouth of fillings, one chunk.
Bop,
35 pieces of silver embedded in the bar. All right, So stay out of Luigi's. I mean, it has no relationship. No, actually, it's kind of nice there. It's the only place I know where they reuse the salads. They just wash the lettuce because it's all plastic and it all comes in. So six of one, half does the other. You pick a few as you can. In fact, did you read about the guy in the restaurant chair the other? Oh, you want to hear about the winter? You thought I wasn't going to get back to the winter? All right. Scientists have reported that temperatures today are 1 3/4 degree colder than they were 15 years ago. And they're 2.4 degrees colder than they were on an average 50 years ago. Regardless of what you say, friend, bring it up. You're curious, here it is right here. Here's the official report from the UPI, right? Oregon State University oceanographic scientists, after a three-year study, have released their findings. Right, and you know what the theory is? If you think Watergate was bad, well, you hear this one, friends. The theory is that within a very short time, we will be in the grip of another ice age. Oh, man, that's even worse than inflation. Can you imagine all them polar bears coming down the main street, and the icebergs floating up the Hudson? Oh, my God. As Yogi Berra said when he was told that there was an ice age on the way, he says, where are we going to play then? It's a good question, Yogi. That's right. It's almost at the end, friends. With the ice age comes glaciers. With the glaciers comes a hell of a heating bill. Wow. Couldn't happen to a nicer era. This is WOR New York. It does not kid. Stay tuned for In Conversation.